Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, September 22nd. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Along with Glenn Leverins, our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you first thing this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, this is the last day of summer with the fall equinox officially starting tonight at 9:04 Eastern Time, 8:04 Central. Can you believe it? That fall starts tonight. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. During this first of 3 years of the Eucharistic revival by our bishops, let's try to visit the Blessed Sacrament today, or at least try to go one more time during the week if you can. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this last day of summer?
Well, John, the Mar-a-Lago saga continues, not only in Florida, but in New York this time for President Trump. He says a civil lawsuit filed by New York's Attorney General is another witch hunt. Letitia James filed the suit against Trump for allegedly inflating his net worth. On his social media site, Truth Social, the former president said James is racist and gets almost zero support from the public.
I caught a little bit of President Trump's interview with Sean Hannity last night. And like you said, he insists that it is a witch hunt, that it really has no merit, something that she's actually been thinking about for a number of years, 3-4 years. And so, yeah, the saga continues, as you say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with announcements expected as soon as the midterms are over by various folks who may throw their hat in the ring for 2024. Another one of those who's maybe likely to do that if the president doesn't run again, Mr. Newsom out of California. He's denying it for now. And, of course, Donald Trump says he's decided but hasn't announced yet. And we wonder if things like this will affect that or not.
Absolutely. And there was another big earthquake in Mexico, a 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Mexico City early this morning. And that's coming on heels of Monday's 7.6 magnitude earthquake that shook central and western Mexico. What do we know? What is the latest there?
Well, both of these happened about 400 miles west of Mexico City, again, in very similar spots. And like early in the week, we should say, two people were killed this time as well. Some buildings shook and some minor to moderate damage there.
And I believe that it came on the anniversary of another big earthquake just a few years ago.
Yeah, that's three in the neighborhood of that that same date. And the one Monday came just a couple days after kind of a nationwide drill. And so people on heightened alert, still kind of nervous about the earth shaking down there. And I do recall being on a mission trip to Mexico City a few years back, a pilgrimage, I guess we should say, and seeing in the taller hotel buildings all kinds of notes about what to do in case of an earthquake. And reminded me of visiting Florida for the first time and seeing all those hurricane evacuation route signs, thinking, really? And you need to be aware of that.
Meanwhile, are you ready for fall? It officially begins tonight at 8:04 Central Time. Sarah, you ready?
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, you might say a cruel summer for some, with the heat temperatures being in places that we just don't like to feel for very long. So I think it's going to be a welcome. It's by the end of summer, you know, you don't want summer to end, but at the same time, you do welcome a little bit of a relief from the temperature. So I think that it's going to be welcomed with open arms by many. And this is my husband's favorite time of year because he loves to wear those fall and winter sweaters. So the fall fashion is coming around the corner for everyone.
Get your sweaters and windbreakers ready. Yeah, temperatures were in the 50s this morning. Glenn, I understand it's even a little cooler up in Minnesota.
50s. What are you complaining about? We're at 45 already, so we're halfway to winter. I've got my hockey sweatshirt on today, let alone football. You know.
Well, there's something to be said for fall weather for those of us who live up in the northern climate and the turning of the leaves. It can be very, very beautiful.
It's a good time of year, beautiful, just wonderful to see all of the beauty that God has for us. Just naturally, as we progress through the year, you see the beautiful things that God is doing. And just I always look forward to it.
All right, Sarah, Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We always begin every morning in prayer. First things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, including the beginning of fall here on this day. And we always ask, through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 3:20. Jesus the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear his voice. He knocks on the door of our hearts, inviting us to sup with him, that is, to eat his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. Christ desires a close intimacy with us, the faithful. The question is, do we really take advantage of this gift of love, of his true presence, substantially present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity? During this Eucharistic revival, let's open the door of our hearts and let our Lord Jesus Christ feed us with the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And of course, you can always send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, according to an interesting recent article at CatholicVote.org, we can confidently say that all saints are pro-life, but some especially embody the dignity of the unborn and those unable to stand for their own lives. Joining us live this morning to talk about some Catholic saints that spent their lives as a living sacrifice as part of their continuous pro-life efforts is Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, and of course a regular contributor to Morning Air and Relevant Radio. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. Good morning, Monsignor Shea. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you, too.
Monsignor, let's talk about some of these notable saints. This is a very interesting story that I came across by Catholic Vote. Let's begin with Saint Maximilian Kolbe. He gave his life and died in a heroic fashion. What can you tell us about Saint Maximilian?
Well, Saint Maximilian was a Franciscan friar in Poland. He was actually quite a genius. As a young man, he earned a doctorate. He went to study in Rome. He had a patent, I think, on an airplane early on, before flight was a very common thing. And he was just a very precocious person. And after his ordination to the priesthood, he became the leader of a movement to dedicate hearts and souls to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And he became the editor of the largest Catholic newspaper in Poland. And then during the Second World War, he was put into a concentration camp at Auschwitz, and there was an escape that happened with some of the, I think, three inmates escaped. And as a result, the commandant of the camp had everybody stand out. All of the prisoners needed to stand out in the middle of the hot sun in the courtyard of the camp all day long. And at the end, he selected 10 prisoners who would die in the place of those three so that he could say that you shouldn't escape, that other people would suffer if you tried to escape from Auschwitz. And so when one person, Franciszek Gajowniczak, when his name was called, he broke down crying. And he said, what am I going to do? I have a family. I have a family. And as a result, Maximilian Kolbe took his hat off, stepped forward, and said, I would like to take his place. I'm a Catholic priest. And as a result, the commandant allowed St. Maximilian Kolbe to take the place of Franciszek Gajowniczak. And he went down into a starvation bunker with the other prisoners. And the Nazis were astonished to hear songs and psalms coming from that place of horror over the course of the coming days. I think he was there for 10 days. He was the last one who was still alive. No, for 2 weeks. He was there, and he was the last one who was still alive. And then at the end, they gave him a lethal injection. So he died in Auschwitz, giving his life for another person because he had a wife and children. And what's amazing is that when Pope St. John Paul II canonized Maximilian Kolbe, Franciszek Gajowniczak, the man for whom he gave his life, was present at the canonization. It's a very beautiful story in the midst of the 20th century, which was a century in which there was great bloodshed, in which there was terrible and vicious and demonic attacks against life. It's a beautiful story of courage and heroism and the power of love in the face of the culture of death.
You talk about no greater love than to give your life up for your friend. I mean, he did it in such heroic fashion. That's why he is considered a great saint for life.
Yeah, you know, when I was a high school teacher, John, at the beginning of my priesthood, I wanted to put up some saints who were modern saints who my students could really relate to, and Maximilian Kolbe was one of those. He was just a tremendous heroic witness, and his story speaks so eloquently because he gave his life for another, and he did it with such heroism, and he did it as a Catholic priest. You know, Frist. When the commandant, whose name was Frist, when he said to this to Maximilian Kolbe, when he stepped forward, he said, you know, who is this Polish pig? And he said, I am a Catholic priest, and I want to take this man's place. And so it was specifically as a priest that he laid down his life. And of course, Jesus Christ is the ultimate high priest who lays down his life for his friends. And so it was in the person of Jesus. And of course, that's what makes a saint, isn't it? That all of us, whether we're priests or not, are called to conform our life to the self-sacrificing, life-giving love of Jesus Christ. And Maximilian Kolbe is just an extraordinary exemplar of that. And I've had a great devotion to him for many years. So I was happy to ask you to speak about him this morning.
Absolutely. And there's a few other saints that we'd like to chat about. Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, another saint, heroic saint, patron saint for mothers, physicians, and the unborn children. What can you tell us about Saint Gianna?
Well, I can tell you so much that you don't want to hear it, John, because she's one of my favorite saints in the whole world. And in fact, very soon we'll have a special event on our campus in her honor. But St. Gianna Beretta Mola was born in Italy in 1922, and she grew up in a loving family. Her parents taught her about the faith. And in fact, several of her brothers and sisters entered the religious life. I think she had two brothers who became priests and a sister who became a Canisian sister, whose name was Virginia. Anyway, so St. Gianna grew up and she felt the call to become a doctor. She became one of the first women ever to graduate from Milan's medical school, and her specialization was in pediatrics. And so she opened a small medical clinic in her hometown. And then a little bit later in life, you know, toward the end of her 20s and her early 30s, she met and fell in love with, which was late in those days to get married. She met and fell in love with an engineer named Pietro Mola. And they got married and they began to have a family, which was very beautiful. At a certain point in her, as she was in the midst of her fourth pregnancy, she realized that she had a painful ovarian cyst, and that as a doctor, she knew that that this would put both her and the baby in danger, and that there were different options that she could take, and she chose to carry the baby to term, even though it was a danger to her own life. And then when the baby was born, she held the baby, and then there were complications afterward, and she died a week later. She wasn't yet 40 years old. This was in 1962. And so Pietro was all alone with four children, and he named his last child Gianna Emanuela, which means we're after Gianna, of course, and then Emanuela is from Emmanuel, God is with us. So he was a person of deep faith. In any case, a couple of years ago, this Gianna Emanuela, the woman, the child for whom St. Gianna gave her life, John, that same person gave us at the University of Mary permission to name our largest school the St. Gianna School of Health Sciences. And so we've got almost 4,000 students, but the largest of our five schools at the university is our School of Health Sciences: nursing, physical occupational therapy, pre-med, athletic training, exercise science, radiologic technology, all of those fields. And so St. Gianna, if she had lived, would have turned 100 years old on October 4th of this year. And so St. Gianna's daughter is coming back to campus to cut the ribbon on the new St. Gianna School of Health Sciences at the University of Mary. And so she'll be here in person. She's been on campus two times before, but we love, love, love St. Gianna. And so I'm super happy to be able to talk about her.
What a blessing. What a blessing for the University of Mary. Outstanding. We have time for a couple more saints. We're going to have to move a little quickly. Two of the most well-known, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, famous for serving the poorest of the poor. But you talk about a great pro-life saint, and that was Mother Teresa.
Yeah, so Mother Teresa put a real face upon the charity of Christ that the church is called to live out. It's often been said that she gave the world new eyes with which to see the poor. And so her great and deep, inspiring example is just so really beautiful. But one of the things I think that's most important to notice about Mother Teresa also was her deep love for the unborn. She was very pro-life, and she used to say, "You talk about poverty? I know about poverty. I deal with poverty every day." And she said, "It's poverty to decide that a child must die so that you can live as you wish." And she used to go around and she would say, "If you know of anybody who doesn't want their child, tell them to bring them to me. My sisters and I will care for the child." And so she opened large homes for children, starting in Calcutta, and she was really, really intent. And then, of course, even when she accepted the Nobel Peace Prize, or when she spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., even though there were pro-abortion politicians and statesmen who were not pro-life present at those various events, she spoke out boldly in defense of life. In other words, she utilized her tremendous moral character and stature on the world stage to speak up for the poorest of the poor and for the smallest of the small, the unborn. And so it was really wonderful to witness Mother Teresa's extraordinary love for the poor in that way. I met her just one time when I was a seminarian and was deeply moved by her. And then I worked later with her sisters at the Gift of Peace AIDS Hospice in Washington when I was a seminarian. And so her spirituality, the love of the missionaries of charity, extends to all of those who are poor, especially those who face unwanted pregnancies, and to the unborn who are so small and so precious. And so Mother Teresa is just a great example of a pro-life saint.
Fantastic example. heroic, fearless. And you talk about being fearless. St. John Paul II, who said, be not afraid, for 26 plus years, is also on our list of great pro-life saints. He's the one who really brought to life the idea of this battle that we're in to this day between the culture of life and the culture of death.
Yeah, so Pope St. John Paul II was really extraordinary in that he had lived through the Nazis, he had lived through the communists, he had seen all kinds of things happen in his native land of Poland, and so he had a very keen sense of what it means when a culture turns against the dignity of the human person and turns solidly against life, and he knew how dangerous that was. He always said, be not afraid, partly because he recognized, and he said this at various points, that people thought that the 20th century, the century in which most of us were born, the 20th century would be remembered as a century of great violence because there had been the two great world wars and there had been other wars and there was the Holocaust and the genocide in Russia and the atrocities of Mao Zedong in China and all of these different types of things. But he said, no, I don't think the 20th century will be remembered primarily for violence, but for fear. That it was an age which was marked by profound and tremendous fear. And so in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, Pope St. John Paul II rallies us not to give in to fear. And that oftentimes is a deeply pro-life issue, that those of us who are pro-life have to provide a way in which those who face difficult circumstances don't need to be afraid. In other words, we need to provide that kind of whole and fearless support that's unwavering to those who face difficult circumstances. And so you're right to say that in Evangelium Vitae, he contrasts the culture of life with the culture of death. And so I've been very devoted to him in just that way. He's a great pro-life saint.
No question. And I know that he has inspired you, inspired me, and has inspired an entire generation of young people and many priests to defend the culture of life.
No, it's true. You know, I was at World Youth Day in 1993, which was a turning point for faith, really, in this country. And it was extraordinary. I was just going into college in those days, and he gathered us together, millions and millions of people at Cherry Creek State Park in Denver, and he told us not to be afraid, and he told us about God's deep love for us and his purpose for our lives. And he still tells us that today through his writings and in his intercession for us. And I know he prays for you, John, and for all of the listeners of Relevant Radio.
I have a beautiful photo of St. John Paul II right here in studio as a never-ending reminder of how much he means to this reporter, and he is the co-patron of Relevant Radio. His famous words as he spoke to our nation in the various trips that he was here, when he said, America, if you want equal justice and true freedom and lasting peace, then America, defend life. And I think those words still hold true right to this day.
They certainly do. He was a great champion of life and a great exemplar of what it means to live for others. And all of those saints that we've been talking about have that in common. They put others before themselves. They laid down their lives for their friends. They lived lives of heroic sacrifice, great service, and as a result, their lives became incandescent. They began to glow from the inside out, and still, through the pages of history, they show us an example of what it means truly to live, not for oneself, but for the life and dignity of others.
As always, Monsignor, I so much appreciate your perspective, especially your perspective when it comes to this issue of life, something that you're so passionate about. Thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on, John.
Many blessings to you. Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary and a regular contributor to Morning Air. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. We need to take a short break. When we continue, Catholic mom Danielle Beam, the host of the Girlfriends podcast, will be with us to talk about how to know and do God's will. So stay with us on this Thursday as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
There's no stopping us. We're fearless inside. We're walking like giants. We're not giving up. With every step, he's still here with us. Whatever comes our way, we'll be walking like giants, walking like giants.
This is Morning Air.
John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverts on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks for tuning in and being with us on this Thursday morning. Our number, once again, to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, do you ever struggle to know and actually do God's will? It can be so tough, so hard to understand exactly what God wants us to do, and it can be even more difficult to actually do it. The Apostle St. Paul writes these words of encouragement in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And listen to the words of my hero, St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, on doing God's will.
Jesus is calling you the light of the world. He's asking you to let your light shine before others. I know that in hearts you want to say, here I am, Lord, here I am, I come to do your will.
Nothing like hearing the words of JP2 to get us going here this morning. Joining us live from New Hampshire is Morning Air contributor Danielle Beam to share a few ideas to help you grow in understanding and persevering in God's will. Danielle is the creator and host of The Girlfriends Podcast and co-host of The Gist on Catholic TV. Danielle is also the author of several books. She's a retreat leader and a popular speaker on a variety of subjects related to Catholic family life, education, marriage, motherhood, and much more. She's been married to her husband, Dan, for 27 years, and together they have 8 children. Good morning, Danielle. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy our conversations, John.
Absolutely. I know when I hear JP2's voice about doing God's will, it really fires me up.
That's like a little pep talk. I love that you have that audio, and I want to get it for myself to keep it on my phone, right? Because sometimes you just need that little reminder that it's as basic as that. And this is why I think I go back to the topic of knowing and doing God's will. So often in my podcast and the things that I write and share online on social media, because if we can figure this out, we're all set. Like, that's all we need to figure out, right? As complicated as our lives can be, knowing and doing God's will is all any of us ever needs to be doing.
It's much easier said, much easier to talk about than to actually accomplish it, to actually do it. How do we know God's will? Sometimes we can feel so frustrated when we're thinking what God wants from us.
Right. And I think it's important to remember that, especially when you're feeling that way, maybe you're trying to make an important decision, or you're not sure about your work situation or a relationship, you know, that sometimes we can think ourselves in circles, you know, going over and over things in our own minds and becoming stressed out and anxious about it. And yet we forget to do the most basic thing. When you want to know God's will, you need to talk to him. You need to be connected to him. You need to be rooted in prayer. Every moment of your day, be turning to God. Be opening up your heart to hear what he might have to say to you. Be asking him for the grace to know and do his will. I promise you, he loves to hear that prayer, and he's waiting to give you the grace that you need. It's not going to be an instant solution like, you know, sit down, say an Our Father, and then it's all set. But it's an ongoing relationship that he wants to invite you into. So those times in life where we might be struggling and wondering what to do and not sure about the best decision to make, that those are opportunities and, in fact, invitations from the Lord to grow closer in relationship to him, to be turning to him in conversation and in prayer day in and day out.
Do you think maybe spending some time alone with the Lord in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, perhaps meditating on the powerful words of Scripture can be part of that process of spending time alone in prayer, looking and seeking God's will?
Absolutely. I think it's so important because oftentimes we think of our daily prayer life, and if you reflect back on it, you can think, gosh, I did a lot of the talking, right? maybe you're you know, reciting memorized prayers or asking God for specific things. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful way to pray. And yet make sure there's space in your prayer life for silence, for listening to what God might be calling you to next. And a beautiful way, a very simple way that I heard this expressed once was a priest advised that if you're struggling with something or if you're really worried about something or going through a hard time, go outside and take a walk. And for the first part of your walk, just walk in one direction and the whole way, just pour out everything, all of your worries, all of your complaints, all of your questions that you have for God. Pour it all out in the first part of your walk, walking in one direction. And then once you've poured it all out and as far as you've gone, then turn around and go back to where you started that walk in silence. So you're spending equal amounts of time speaking to God and also listening to God for what he might say to you. And I think that's a very beautiful, and it doesn't have to be with a walk, of course, but making sure that you have time in your daily prayer life where you are just sitting in God's presence and opening yourself up to hear what he might have to say. That's a very countercultural thing, of course, because we love to fill our lives with busyness and noise and distraction of every kind. And yet, God doesn't speak over the noise. He speaks to us in a whisper, in a still small voice like we hear about in the scriptures. So you're not going to hear that over the blast of your radio, over watching your latest Netflix series, over scrolling social media. You need to remove those things from your life for at least some set period of time each day and be listening for God's voice.
I think you hit it right on the nose, Danielle. It's almost impossible to hear God's voice. You got the TV blaring. You got the radio in the kitchen. You got the iPhone playing some podcast. I mean, with so much noise, it's almost impossible to really hear the Lord's voice.
Absolutely. And you mentioned adoration, and I always encourage people, make at least a weekly commitment to an hour of adoration, because this, if nothing else, is going to guarantee that you are sitting in silence for 1 hour each week. And if you're not accustomed to doing that, it might be very uncomfortable. It might be a discipline that you have to practice, and you might get distracted 100 times, find yourself, you know, making a grocery shopping list in your mind or thinking about that email that you forgot to send or whatever. But just practice showing up, sitting in silence, and then as often as you need to, calling your mind back to the presence of God, sitting in his presence, listening for his voice. And it's not going to be like a booming voice, generally not. I don't know who's going to have an apparition. But most of us, for the way that God speaks to us is going to be in that stillness, in that quiet, in a nudging, in a thought, in a feeling, in a general idea that might come to us, and an understanding of what God wants us to be doing next. And that's going to happen in silence. It's not going to happen in spoken prayer, and it's certainly not going to happen as you're consuming all forms of media.
As Professor Harry Kramer reminds us, there's 168 hours in a week. We're talking about 1 hour out of the week alone with the Lord to listen to his voice, to find out what he wants us to do. You know, 1 hour is really, you know, not a whole lot when you consider, you know, Bishop Sheen did 1 hour every day for half a century. I mean, this man never right. missed, and that's where he got the power and the strength to do what he did and be the greatest evangelizer of the 20th century.
Absolutely, and I think that's a powerful way of looking at it. There are that many hours in a week, and think of our Lord's words in the gospel where he says, could you not sit with me for 1 hour? Picture him saying that to you, because he does say that to each of us. He's inviting each of us always to spend some time in quiet contemplation, sitting in his presence. He wants us to look at him, and he wants to look at us. He wants us to love him, and he wants to love us. And that can only happen when we're making the room for it in our daily schedules.
And we need other people. You know, we're in this battle. We can't do it alone. You have another suggestion for us of how to find God's will.
Yeah, absolutely. So the people that God places in your life are part of how he's going to speak his will to you. So oftentimes, like I described at the beginning of this conversation, we can be going round and round in our own heads, anxious about something, worried about something, wondering about what's the best move or best decision to make. And it's very helpful sometimes to have outside perspective on that. So look at the people that God has placed in your life, perhaps that have legitimate authority over you. It might be your priest. It might be your spouse. It might be somebody in your workplace. It might be your own parent or a trusted friend or sibling. Look for people in your life that can provide that kind of perspective for you. I have, over the years, come to really appreciate my husband, Dan, in this capacity, because he often provides just exactly the kind of outside, different perspective that I need. Because, you know, men and women are wired differently. We think about things differently. We have a different perspective on the world. And sometimes his different masculine perspective just can put everything into place for me, and it can be so very helpful. And sometimes I'll forget, though, when I'm ruminating about something, to bring it to him, to ask him for his opinion. So it's really important to turn to the people in your life and that you trust and that know you well. And not that you have to do everything precisely that other people tell you, but taking their advice and their thoughts and their perspectives into consideration will go a long way toward helping you discern what God wants you to be doing.
And in addition to one's spouse, if you're blessed enough to have a spiritual director, that can be a tremendous blessing, someone that can really give you some real Catholic spiritual direction.
Absolutely. Somebody who knows you and knows what your spiritual path has been and has some understanding of where you are in your relationship with God can really be very helpful and can help you when you get distracted and kind of get pulled off the path a little bit. And that happens to us when we're left to our own devices, you know, going round and round in our own head. Sometimes we spiral into things that into places where God doesn't want us to go as far as anxiety is concerned. And, you know, in the middle of the night when you wake up and you're ruminating about something, it's probably one of those moments. So try to remember that.
Want to bring in our listeners if you want to be part of our conversation. If you personally have struggled to know God's will and even more so to do his will, we're taking your calls for Danielle Beam, the host of the Girlfriends podcast and co-host of The Gist on Catholic TV. To be part of our conversation, you can give us a jingle, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Danielle. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in, for being with us here this morning as we continue our fascinating conversation with longtime Morning Air contributor Danielle Beam, the host of the Girlfriends podcast. We're talking about how to know and do God's will. If you want to be part of our discussion, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Danielle, let's talk about yet another suggestion that you have for ways to discern God's will.
Yeah, let's talk about peace, because this is actually a surprising one to me that I've come to realize through my own life experience, that we need to be reminded sometimes that anxiety is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have peace about a situation in your life, if you are anxious about something and you're not at peace about it, then that is part of how God is speaking to you about that situation, that something needs to change. Maybe that can't tell you with specificity exactly what change he wants to see in that part of your life, but it can tell you that this is not in accordance with his will for your life if you are feeling anxious about something. And, you know, that doesn't mean like the everyday kinds of worries and concerns that we might have, but generally speaking, if you're feeling very much not at rest, not at peace, maybe with a work situation, maybe in a relationship, maybe in a friendship you have with somebody, or a financial situation or a commitment that you've made, that is part of how God is speaking to you, that is not part of his will for you. And we need to remember that, because sometimes I think we can get mixed up, and, you know, of course, our church teaches us, and rightly so, that the redemptive value of suffering and sacrifice. And yet understanding that sometimes can lead us kind of astray when we're trying to discern God's will, because I know that I can fall prey to the idea that perhaps God's will means the thing that's going to feel the most terrible for me, right? The thing that's going to be the most sacrificial must be what God's will is for me. And, you know, this kind of thought process became very clear to me one time when I was counseling a young woman in my life who was trying to discern, you know, she was wondering if God was calling her to be married and have a family, or maybe the religious life. And she told me that she wanted nothing more in the world than to be married and become a mother. That was what she felt so joyful about when she thought about it and anticipated it. And she said it was because she loved that idea so much that she thought God must be calling her to the religious life, because that, you know, she kind of thought that God must be calling her to make this great sacrifice of her motherhood for him in this way by joining a religious order. And, you know, I had to counsel her, of course. I don't know precisely what God's will was for her, but it seemed pretty clear to me that God was speaking to her through those very good desires that he placed on her heart. And that was a good thing. So, you know, always remembering that God's will isn't necessarily going to be the most painful thing for you. It's not necessarily going to be the most sacrificial thing for you. Sometimes it's going to be something that you very much want and desire, because God is speaking to you through those desires for good things that he places in your heart. So who you are and what you love and what you're passionate about, what you're uniquely good at, your unique gifts and strengths, those are part of how God speaks his will to you. So don't push those aside and think they must not be relevant and that you have to work around them in some way. Embrace them and know that God is very much speaking to you about that, and the kind of peace that you'll have when you are embracing them.
Danielle, as you said, you know, anxiety is not the way to go. If you want true peace that surpasses all understanding, as St. Paul says, we need to tap into the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that peace, so that we have peace about God's will.
100% true. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the first segment about waking up in the middle of the night and having anxiety about things, that, you know, remember that that's not from God. The kind of anxiety that you might feel, and the kind of real worry that you have about things, and that unrest. And that is an invitation. That anxiety that you have, rather than just diving deep into it and becoming miserable, you know, notice that it is a nudge toward God. It's an invitation and encouragement to grow closer to God through prayer, through turning to him, placing your life in his hands, surrendering your life to him, asking for his help, his support, asking for the grace that you need to know and do his will. So rather than diving deep into anxiety and getting lost out in that miserable rabbit hole, remember that this is part of how God is speaking to you. He's nudging you in the direction where he wants you to go.
Danielle, we have Maureen joining the conversation from Libertyville, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Maureen, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Danielle Bean.
Hello. I had two questions. One, how would you go about finding a good spiritual advisor? And from what I'm hearing, you also offer retreats. And is that something that you have the dates on your website or something like that?
Oh, sure. So, yeah, first of all, finding a spiritual advisor, this is something I hear from people about all the time. And oftentimes, you know, starting with your parish priest is a good place to start. Not that he's necessarily going to have the time for that. You know, many parish priests are overbooked, overscheduled. They've got multiple responsibilities, and he may not have the time for that, but he may be able to point you in the right direction. Another place to look is look at religious communities that might be around you. Maybe there's a monastery, maybe there's a convent near you, and just inquire there. Oftentimes there's a religious that has time available in their schedule that does that sort of thing. Also, you can find somebody online, and there are a number of different resources for that. I'm not remembering any off the top of my head, but I know there are a number of different ones where you can find somebody online and even have a virtual kind of session with spiritual direction. There are lay people who are educated and trained in spiritual direction specifically. So really it's about finding the right fit for you. And I would say, as you're going about it and kind of making those initial appointments and meeting with people, you know, no harm, no foul. If you meet somebody and it's not the right connection, don't feel like you have to continue with somebody that isn't the right fit for you. And bring that to prayer, really asking God to help guide you along that path toward finding the person that he wants you to have in your life. That's going to be that source of advice and encouragement as you're growing closer to God. And then the question about retreats, I really appreciate that. You can go to daniellebean.com and click on the retreats tab. You can send me a note there and inquire about one in your area. I'm not going to be able to list the number of dates that I have coming up right here right now, but you can get all the information that you want if you click on retreats over at daniellebean.com.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Maureen. Last but not least, can you talk about the importance of trusting in God? How can we learn to trust that God wants the best for us?
Yeah, I think ultimately when we're worried about something, when we're wondering what God's will is, it really is that encouragement to grow in trusting God. And like I said at the start, this is it. Like, if we can figure this out, we are all set. Like, if we can learn to trust God. And ultimately, that's what he's wanting from each of us. He wants us to be turning to him in all the big things and the little things every day, every moment of our lives. He wants to be a part of it all. And he wants good things for us. And sometimes I think we get tripped up, like I mentioned, about thinking maybe God wants me to do the most sacrificial thing. And yes, sometimes God does call us to do sacrificial things. But ultimately, I think it's important to kind of examine sometimes when we're struggling with this idea of what God's will is, to examine what your thought is about who God is and what kind of a father he is and the kind of things that he wants for you. Do you trust that God has good plans for you? Do you trust that God wants you to enjoy your life? He has great plans for your joy in this life and most especially in the next. Do you trust in the goodness of God's plan for you? And I think that's a really important reminder for everybody, you know, to really examine what your relationship is with God and where he might be calling you to go.
Trusting in the Lord, that's really what it's all about. Just the simple prayer that we do here every morning on Morning Air. Jesus, I trust in you, from the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It will go a long way in finding and discovering to be able to do God's will.
Amen. So important.
Appreciate your insights. Outstanding, as always. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Danielle Bean, the host of the Girlfriends podcast and co-host of the Gist on Catholic TV. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Remember the Duck. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma Johnny told me that he wanted to help in the kitchen." And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." And she whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you'd let Sally make a slave of you." Whatever's in your past, whatever you've done, the devil keeps throwing it up in your face. Lying, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, etc. Whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window. He saw the whole thing. He's seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and you're forgiven. He's just wondering how long you'll let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more."
Awesome story corner. Remember the duck. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, we're going to be joined by Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, who will be with us to talk about the quiet epidemic of lonely people. Plus, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will talk about the amazing Saint Padre Pio. He'll talk about the confessional, his stigmata, his bilocation gifts, everything to prepare us for his feast day coming up on Friday. So stay with us. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.